So 2 weeks ago, I preached a message called, Are You on Fire for God or Are You Just Living in the Smoke? And I want to continue now what I would call part two of that message. And if you weren't here, praise the Lord, my iPad's on fire. Here's a quick recap of the points I shared just a few weeks ago. And I am switching microphones. Are we ready? Lord, let it work in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's a couple of thoughts. If you're on fire for God, or are you just living in the smoke? Number one, you're just living in the smoke, and the smoke being you're not really on fire, you're just caught up in the smoke. If you would settle for an angel riding on a cloud rather than God himself, in other words, you want more what God does for you than who God is. You would rather that. Number two, you're just living in the smoke if you want just want his hand, but not his heart. Number three, you're just living in the smoke if your faith was borrowed. Now, if you didn't hear that point, you need to get the message for that point alone. Number four, you're living in the smoke if there's no power in your life. You're just into looking good. Number five, you're just living in the smoke if you delay obedience. Like, Lord, I'll follow you, but first let me go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. Number six, you're living in the smoke if you have no love for God's house. And that's, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today. And number seven, which I never even talked about, I ran out of time, you're just living in the smoke if you're playing it safe. And that's a great story in 1 Samuel 13, Jonathan and the armor bearer. And the Bible says all of Israel just went and hid in caves and in thickets. Some of them even joined the enemy. But Jonathan and the armor bearer took on 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and infantry that couldn't be numbered. And they began to fight and they began to win. Then everybody else hiding who were playing it safe got involved. I don't know about you. I want to be Jonathan. I want to be the armor bearer. I don't want to be one of those people that said, I was there. But you were there in such a way that if things didn't work out, you didn't get hurt. But if things did work out, you're close enough to the battle to say, I was there. But the truth is, you're just living in the smoke. Amen? And some people can say, oh yeah, I go to Wayne Church. Yeah, that's great. But are you on fire for God, or are you just living in the smoke? Amen? So let's go. We're going to get started right now, and we're going to read from Revelation chapter 3. Here's my first thought this morning on our Legacy Sunday weekend. It's an exciting weekend. You're just living in the smoke if you're lukewarm. I was trying to find another way to say that. I was trying to be creative, and I went, it's just too good and self-explanatory not to let it just say what it is. Revelation 3, it says, I know your deeds. By the way, this is Jesus speaking to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And this is to one of the churches. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot. And look what Jesus says. I wish that you are one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot or cold. So let me stop. I wish, said Jesus, you were hot or cold. I would rather you were hot or cold. Now, obviously, he'd rather we be hot. Amen. I'd rather cool down a fanatic than warm up a corpse. Amen. But Jesus said, I would rather you were hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm. It says, I will, actually this translation, the NIV, says it a little too nice. I like other translations. I think it's the King James. It says, I will spew you, or I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty graphic thing for Jesus to say. He goes, and so here's the thought. If you're lukewarm, you're living in the smoke. Jesus would rather you are hot or cold. Because maybe if you're cold, you got a chance to having God encounter. But if you just got a little, if you're just in the smoke, then you kind of feel like you're caught up in the fire, but you're not really on fire. Elijah challenged Israel. How long will you halt between two opinions? Don't be lukewarm. James told us, don't be double-minded. Joshua told us, as for me and my house, you choose who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Are we just living in the smoke? Going to church on Sundays, just going to church on Sundays, won't do it. Amen. Some people just go, well, I'll give God my Sunday. You know what you are? And God's locked out of the rest of your week. You are a weekend love affair with God. If you just sort of say, God, I'll give you Sunday morning and just be happy with that. That's all you. God, I give you that. But God's nothing else in your life for the other 6 days a week. It's like you're having a weekend love affair. Amen? You're just living in the smoke. So to me, it's got to be 24/7. Wouldn't you agree? It's not just going to church on Sundays. It's actually, we got to be on fire for God. Put it this way. It's tithing or you're a tightwad. You're a freeloader. It's either serving or you're swerving. It's either praising or you're a poser. It's either following or you're faking it. It's either denying yourself or denying Christ. It's either being, understand that you've been forgiven and you forgive others, or there's a fiery judgment. It's heaven or it's hell. Amen. It's you're on fire or God's gonna vomit you out of his mouth. That's what the Bible says. Are you on fire for God or are you just living in the smoke? Here's the second one. You're not gonna like this one. Look at this one. You're just living in the smoke if your giving is with wrong motives. Look at Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read. I actually put it this way. Don't fake your giving. And on a weekend like this, I think we should talk about it. It says in Acts 4, all the believers were in one heart and one mind. No one claimed any of their possessions as their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, everybody say time to time. Not often, but not infrequent. From time to time. Can everybody see this? Those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales. And they put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to those who were in need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field that he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. I want you to know this. The first thing I want to talk about is from time to time. There are occasions beyond people's tithing where people gave above. Amen? From time to time. There's a need, there's something we can do, there's something we can make a difference. I like that thought. But then it says, but there's this guy called Joseph, and actually we all know him in the Bible as Barnabas, but his real name was Joseph. And when he had a piece of land that he had, and he sold it, and he brought it to the apostles, they said, you're such an encourager. We're going to change your name. We're going to call you Barnabas. You got it? Everybody understand? So now come to Acts chapter 5, the very next verse. We tend to read things in chapters, but this is not a chapter. This is just one book. So let's read on. A man called Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property with his wife's full knowledge. Everybody say full knowledge. He kept back part of the money for himself, and he brought the rest of it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money that you received for the land? Now watch what Peter says here. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And even after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You've not lied to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. And it says, there came some young men, came forward, wrapped his body and carried him out and buried him. And I think maybe now there's a tombstone behind me. Is that right? Did you all see that come down out of the ceiling? Well done. Praise the Lord. So here's the thought. I want you to think about it. The same thing happened to his wife. And I love what Peter said. It was always yours. If you got $500,000 for that land and you needed to keep 100,000 of it, if you need to keep 400,000 of it, wouldn't matter. You could have done that. But you lied. You tried to say that you're giving God the full price of the property. You could have said, hey, we needed some, but we want to give you the rest. And God, but why did they give? Because of the verses leading up to it. Look what happened to Joseph. He got a new name. He got a thank you. He got recognition. He got validation. And we want to do that, but we're not willing to come off. We want all that, but we're going to hold back some of it for ourselves. In other words, don't fake your giving. You're just living in the smoke. And can I say this to you? Don't give for a thank you. Don't give for the recognition. Could we be like that centurion? We are high yield and we are low maintenance. Amen. The centurion who heard that Jesus was going to come to his house to pray for his servant. And the centurion said, you don't need to come to my house. Some of us will give if the pastor writes a personal handwritten note, thank you, phone call, and I want you to know I am appreciative. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Come on, I am appreciative. I am. But I want to challenge us about our motive in what we do and why we do it. Somebody say amen. Number three, you're just living in the smoke if you're wearing someone else's clothes. I love this story. Look at this. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. It says, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. This is Goliath, the giant. Your servant, David, will go fight him. And Saul replied. Now, Saul is head and shoulders above the rest. He's a warrior. It says, you are not able to go out and fight this Philistine. You're only a young man. And he's been a warrior since his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it. I struck it. I rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it and killed it. It says, look at this here. And he goes, and so I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, look at this, go and may the Lord be with you. And then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet upon his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic. And then he tried walking around, but because he never used them, he said, I can't go in these. And then Saul said, I'm not used to them. So he took them off and he took off his staff in his hand and he chose 5 smooth stones from the stream and he put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag in his sling. And he approached the Philistine. I want to illustrate what this looks like. So imagine this. I had to get somebody who was taller, you know. And so I found this guy right here. He's a big boy, isn't he? Head and shoulders above the rest. But imagine me being Josh Kelly for a moment. Just a Frodo. Is that bad, Toby? All right. Well, okay, just imagine. So here we go. So the first thing, why do you give me that first? That thing's heavy. Let me put that down for a second. All right, so he takes off the helmet and he puts on the helmet and he's, now think about it, this guy's head and shoulders above the rest. So this is what David would have looked like. And then he puts on this big coat of armor to protect him from anything Saul's spear. And now, just let me give you an illustration of what I'm going to... Imagine me trying... Where is the giant? I can't see the giant. Where is he? Come on. And so the Bible says, David goes, this isn't going to work. I'm wearing someone else's clothes. This is not what's in my hand. This is not my armor. I won't win this fight. I got to get this stuff off. And so David took off the helmet. Oh, that feels so much better. That thing's heavy, by the way. And then he gave off this. We're going to help me out with this thing. Praise the Lord. I don't know how you're going to do it. Oh, there you go. And then he gave him his sword back. By the way, David got a better sword. He got Goliath's sword. Give Saul a hand. Praise the Lord. I want to illustrate it for you. You can't fight giants in someone else's clothes. You've got to use what's in your hand, what's God put in your hand. And I actually think with all my heart that actually you got to ask yourself, what has God given me to fight with? What's in my hand? Don't worry about what's in someone else's hand. You got to use what God gave you. If it's 5 talents, use the 5 talents. If it's 2 talents, use the 2 talents. If it's 1 talent, don't compare yourself to the person who's got 5. And whatever you do, don't bury the talent. Otherwise, you might hear, you wicked servant. Amen? And so God said to Moses, what's in your hand? Moses said, it's a staff. And God used what was in Moses' hand. Amen? Come on, somebody. And so I actually think, as much as we understand David looked stupid and clumsy and awkward in Saul's armor, I also think there's a part, if David went out to battle, and if somehow David knew he was going to win, but David knowing it would look like Saul because it was Saul's armor. And David didn't want Saul to get the credit. He wanted to give God the glory. And he wanted no one confused as to who this was. David picked up some rocks. Remember what he said? The Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear will also deliver this man into my hands. I'm asking a question today. Come on. Are you on fire for God or are you just living in the smoke? And you can't wear someone else's armor, someone else's clothes, someone else's anointing. You got to use what God gave you. Amen. Oh, I know some Christians who love to polish their armor. But are you fighting? Are you actually fighting? Use what God's given you. Matter of fact, I love this scripture here. Look at this one. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatever your hand finds to do, whatever God has put in your hand, if you're an artist, paint. Amen? Do it with all your might. Matter of fact, I love to say this to young single girls. If there's a guy who's trying to date you and all of a sudden he's trying to get too physical for you, with you, then the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Slap him and tell him you're not into those multicultural relationships, Roman hands and Russian fingers, and you slap him. Come on, somebody. Come on, girl. Somebody say amen. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. We all have to fight. And we've got to fight with what God has given us. God has an anointing for you. Amen. David was a shepherd boy and he learned how to fight with a sling. Joshua was a man of war and he learned how to fight with a sword. Gideon, I love Gideon. Gideon was the least in his family. And his family was in the least tribe of all of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Gideon, he didn't have much. That little brother, he didn't have much at all. But the Bible says he destroyed the Midianites. Amen. Look at this, Judges 16, Judges 6, verse 15. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. How can I save Israel? God's telling Gideon, I'm with you. You're going to deliver Israel. He says, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Think about the excuses he's giving. Well, my clan is the least in Manasseh. Manasseh is the smallest of all the tribes and clans. And my family is the weakest family in all of Manasseh. And I'm the weakest I am the weakest of the weak. Yet Gideon defeated the Midianites. I want you to see this. Look at this, Judges 7, verse 19. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. And just after they changed guards, the Bible says they blew their trumpets and broke jars that were in their hands. Remember, I'm talking about use what's in your hand. Three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hand and holding with their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. And they shouted and they said, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites came out and crying and fled. Let me illustrate it for you. So here is Gideon. What's in his hand? It's a trumpet. And the Bible says Gideon got a hold of his trumpet, and look what he did. He put it to his lips, and this is the sound. But no, wait, there's more. Because then three companies of men joined Gideon. Are you ready? It's the sound of victory. But then, wait, the Bible says they took jars, and it says, "What's in your hand? You can defeat the enemy." And it says they smashed the jars. But wait, then it says they all had torches. And it says, "For the sword and of the Lord and for Gideon." And just by what was in his hand, the Midianites fled. They never even had a battle. Come on, somebody. Give them a hand. What's in your hand? What are you good at? Come on, God's not asking for anything that isn't already in your hand. Number four. You're just living in the smoke if you don't do what the Father wants. You're just living in the smoke if you don't do what the Father wants. Here's Jesus talking to the Pharisees. I just, every time I read about Jesus talking to the Pharisees, I always get this excitement. I always get this, here we go again. These guys, they're dumb. They are so filled with self-importance. They are so filled with their own sense of righteousness. And they're standing before the Son of God thinking they know more. And it says, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first son and he said, go work in the vineyard. And the first son said, I will not. But later he changed in his mind and went. Sounds like Josh. Then the father went to the other son, said the same thing, and he answered, I will, sir. Sounds like Sam. But he didn't go. Which of these, that's because he talked to his mum, Sam and his mum, they had a little chat. Which of these two do you think did what the father wanted? The first they answered, and Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, watch this now, watch. The tax collectors, prostitutes, are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and yet you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after all this, you did not repent and believe him. Listen to what Jesus said, John chapter 15, verse 14. Oh, listen to this. This is a verse that doesn't get preached a lot in church. You are my friends, listen, if you do what I tell you. There is a condition to friendship with Christ. And let me tell you what that condition is. Obedience. Come on, somebody. Just turn to the person next to you and say, we don't like this sermon anymore. Let me show you what obedience looks like, because I think this story I'm about to read to you is a really good to help us all to understand what real obedience looks like. And it's this, it's don't interpret, obey. Well, I thought you meant, and Jesus is saying, you are my friend if you do what I tell you to. So, but Samuel said, listen to this verse. This is Samuel confronting King Saul. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of the cattle I hear? And then Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. So Saul's answering because there's this sound that Samuel's hearing. Isn't it funny when we say we did something and we're denying we didn't do something, but the evidence is right? It's like you're caught with your hand in the cookie jar. I pray when you walk out of here and next time God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you hear. I did do it. I did what the Lord told me to do. But the soldiers brought some of the best from the Amalekites. They spared the best sheep and the best cattle to sacrifice to God. But we totally destroyed the rest. I could just see Samuel. Enough! Samuel said, let me tell you what the Lord told me. Tell me, Saul said. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribe of Israel? The Lord anointed you as king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil on the eyes of the Lord? Listen to me. And he goes, but I did. I did everything you told me. The soldiers took the sheep from the plunder. It was the best that was devoted to God. And Samuel said, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying God? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I want to encourage us. Let's be the first to obey what God says. Come on, somebody. Let's be the first to do what God tells us to do. Can anybody say amen? Look what the Bible says, James 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I want to just make it clear. Listen, you're just living in the smoke. I want to make it clear. Catch it now. If you don't do what the Father tells you to do. And I'm praying today you hear the sheep. Come on, somebody. And don't interpret what God says, but obey it. Number five, you're just living in the smoke if you're running with a message, but you don't have anything to say. This one, listen to this. We're giving a lot of Old Testament examples because I love some of the Old Testament illustrations that really help. The Bible says everything of the Old Testament is a type, it's a shadow, it's a pattern of what is to come. And this is one of my favorites when I think about people who want to prematurely go somewhere. So we're talking about don't delay obedience, but I'm also now going to talk to you about don't get in front of it. Look what the Bible says. It says, Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, let me run and take news to the king, that's King David, that the Lord has vindicated him by delivering him from the hands of his enemies. And listen to what Joab said. Joab is the commander of David's army. You are not the one to take the news today. He says, you may take the news another time, but you must not do so today because the king's son is dead. Now, let me just stop for a minute and tell you it was Joab that killed the king's son. Absalom was fleeing on his mule, And the Bible says his hair was so long, he was very vain about his hair, and he did a usurping of King David and tried to take the throne from his father David. And as he was escaping, his hair got caught in the thicket and he was hanging. And then the Bible says Joab went up and killed him because he was trying to take the throne away from David. Have you got it? So Joab's going, not today, Cato. Sometimes you just say a joke for just one person. I heard one little snicker. Praise the Lord. He goes, not today. You can do it another day because the king's son's dead. Then Joab said to the Cushite, you go and tell the king what you've seen. And the Cushite bowed down before Joab and ran off. Now here's this anxious, premature guy. Amahaz, the son of Zadok, again said to him, come what may, please let me run behind the Cushite. But Joab replied, my son, why do you want to go? You don't have any news that'll bring a reward. And he said, come what may, I want to run. So Joab said, run. And then Ahimaaz ran in such a way by the plain that he outran the Cushite. So he gets there first, but he doesn't have the whole message. And he gets there and he goes, David, good news. Your enemies have been defeated. David's first question, what about my son? How is he? Gee, don't know. And the Bible says he put him aside. You have no idea the meaning of what that is in that culture in that day. You see, he was wanting to run, but he didn't have the whole message. And that's the Bible talks about zeal without wisdom. Come on, somebody. And the Bible does say that we're to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly diverting the word and of truth. We got to get the skill and the knowledge first. Amen. You want to do something in business? Have you studied? Have you got the knowledge to know how to do that? I have people come to me and say, I want to be a campus pastor of WAVE. And I go, wonderful. Do you even go to a community group? And do you run one? Because if you're going to be a campus pastor, you got to learn how to gather people, love people, shepherd people. Amen. The Bible says the people sung of David. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed the tens of thousands. No one's singing about you yet, but stop singing about yourself. Amen. You got to be willing to put in the work, the effort. You got to put in the training. Don't just have zeal without a wisdom. Amen. Somebody says, I want to be a millionaire. And I want to give millions to the kingdom. But you can't even tithe on what God's given you today. Amen. Zeal without wisdom. You got to make sure you got the whole story. Here's the question. Are we driven by purpose or just action? Because here this runner, he had skill. He could run fast. He outran the Cushite. He got there before the Cushite. But when he got there, he had nothing to say. And he gets put aside. I want to tell you, we've got to be those sorts of people who aren't just living in the smoke, but we're on fire for God. And we've got the message burning inside of us. Come on, somebody say amen. You've got to get certain skills. You're not ready yet. Trust. And here's another thought. You got to trust leaders when they feel like they are holding you back. And they're saying, not yet. You got to be willing to trust a leader that God's put you with. And when he says you're not ready to run yet, you got to learn how to have faith and patience. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, that was for someone else. Number six, you're just living in the smoke if you're looking for the Walmart special. Look at this, John 2, verse 13. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others who were sitting at the tables exchanging money. So he made a whip of cords and he drove them out from the temple courts, both the sheep and the cattle. And he scattered the coins with the money changers and he overturned the tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a Walmart. And his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house consumes me. So let me ask you a question. What was being sold in the temple? Sacrifices. So people were coming to the temple without a sacrifice. And they went to the temple and they're going, how much is that sheep? I got to give. Now, the Bible says we're supposed to bring to God from our flock the firstborn and the best. Not the leftovers, not the lame sheep. We're to give God our best. These people weren't even bringing a sacrifice. They were just going to the Walmart. How much is that one? That's $10. That one's $7. I'll buy that one. They were shortcutting. Shortchanging, they weren't giving. And here's another thing. They were depending upon what's in the temple for their sacrifice. It's like people going, oh, I hope they sing these songs today. I had somebody come up to me and go, Pastor, I got nothing out of the worship today. I go, good, we weren't worshiping you. Amen? So if you come to church, depending who the preacher is, depending what the songs are, you come to church depending whether you're going to give God your praise and needing the band to get you worked up. I want to tell you, the Bible says we bring the sacrifice of praise. And that's why Jesus drove them out. He goes, nobody's bringing their best. Nobody's bringing their praise. You bring your praise with you and you give God your praise. You don't depend upon anything or anyone. You've come fired up. You're not living in the smoke. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand if you receive it. Number 7, you're just living in the smoke if you're living out your Christianity more like the chicken than you are the pig. You're living your life, living more like the chicken than you are the pig. Now, for the chicken to give you food, to give you an egg, all he's got to do, or she has got to do, is lay an egg, and she lives another day to lay another egg. But for the pig to feed you, it's going to cost you something. And I want to make sure that, listen what the Apostle Paul said. Watch this. I'll close with this verse. Singers, musicians, come on back. Okay, look at this verse. I think it's Philippians 2. I think it's verse 17. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and the service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Paul says, I would gladly lay down my life as a sacrifice, as a drink offering. I want to encourage this church this weekend as we approach, as we consider what God's done. And as we consider even our involvement with legacy, don't be a chicken, be a pig. Make sure there's a sacrifice to it. It's not just giving God your leftovers. Here, God, that'll do. Let's be people who truly hear from God. Can you say amen? Come on, in every campus, at Wilson, in Richmond, at Seaboard, at Norfolk, at our Richmond downtown, can we give the Lord a hand for his word? Come on.